A colossal monster, a city in ruins, no way out, except inside of the all-electric Toyota CHR. John Cho stars in Escape. Test drive Toyota's new all-electric family today. Toyota, let's go places.
Welcome along. The marathon is over. Congratulations to Spain World Cup winners for a second time, and deservedly so. There's an argument that the final was a match too far and we should have quit after the 10-goal third-place playoff expelled Argentina for thought crimes against football and given the trophy to Spain. Then we could have seen more of Justin Bieber and Shakira and found out where Madonna's creative collaboration with Ronaldinho and Ronaldo would have gone. Instead, we watched the reigning champions try to win the World Cup without shooting at the opposition goal. Only for Ferran Torres to write his name into history, we'll soon forget that he had a stinker of a tournament. It was just a shame that Messi couldn't make the final. Speaking of hard-to-age celebrities, what on earth is going on with Tom Cruise's face? And why do all A-listers now look AI-generated? FIFA's technical study group painstakingly analysed the goalkeeping in the tournament and decided that the Golden Glove should go to Unai Simon out of the keepers who happened to be left there at the end. It was a choice of two and they got it wrong. He faced 11 shots in the tournament, a couple of clearances against France and a lot of heavy lifting. Player of the tournament, after much consideration and bearing in mind it has to go to one of the people literally standing right in front of him, and not Donald Trump, went to Rodri. Kylian Mbappe is better at football, but he does have this thing of playing for France and Real Madrid and managing not to win stuff. England finished in a blaze of glory, Thomas Tuchel having cleverly rested Bukayo Saka for the third place. No one else thought of that, did they? So there we are, Terry. We're done after all of this. We'll have a little think about the hydration breaks and celebrities and painstakingly long sequences that the directors have put together and all of this. I mean, the World Cup is great. You can get the thing with the World Cup. You can get so many things wrong and it still be brilliant.
Yeah, exactly. Because of what we're watching it for. Watching it for the football.
Yeah, and it's only every 4 years. That would be the thing that they could kill it if they make it every year, and every year we're having to watch Justin Bieber.
Shakira.
Another one who doesn't age, Shakira as well. Anyway, non-aging celebrities is another thing. Spain, let's talk about the football, first of all. The match
Please.
Itself. Yes.
We'll come back to all that nonsense.
Yeah, so we'll quickly detail all of Argentina's attacking prowess. That was done. It was honestly. I thought actually. Let's. I won't mince my words. I thought they were disgraceful. Argentina. No, and not particularly. You know, the stuff at the end. Yeah, fair enough. Not good. But I'm not that angry. The fact that they didn't have Spain win the ball back well. Spain defend well. You know, they're hard to defend against. The point about Unai Simon face. I think he made 10 saves in the tournament.
Yeah.
Okay. But you have got to the World Cup final. You have to have some plan to try and score a goal, don't you? And they were shocking.
Clearly not. I mean, it was their plan, wasn't it, to get to penalties with a 0-0. And I found that astonishing. I didn't expect that from Argentina, I have to be honest. I thought we had two teams that genuinely believed they would win a game of football. Argentina are the World Cup holders. They've won the Copa America twice in that period as well. What I didn't feel they would have the need to feel like massive underdogs, and they shouldn't have done. And as there's players we're talking about, you referred to Messi there, Julian Alvarez barely had a kick of the ball. And they have got good players. They are a good team. But I was really shocked at how restricted they were, how much they had the brakes on, how deep they dropped. No relish for attacking play whatsoever. Messi didn't get involved through no fault of his own until the last 10 minutes of the game. And then we saw, why didn't they do this earlier? Why didn't they give them the ball here? Why wasn't there more support? Why wasn't there more attacking play? And actually, that was the only time in the last 10 minutes. They had their two attempts at goal. They had a near miss when the cross went across the six-yard box. They were putting corners into the box. So I thought it was shame, actually, that we didn't get that type of game where two teams in a World Cup final genuinely believed they could win it. It was only one, and thankfully that team won.
I think the contrast between Argentina when they had to chase a game in this tournament and Argentina at the times was
yes.
was stark, and they rode their luck a bit. Oh, Egypt in particular, they could easily have been knocked out. England, as discussed at length, messed it up against them and should have been able to navigate that and not let Argentina into that game.
I still think, though, looking back at the England game, they were better than England, better than us for the majority of the game. Even the goal England scored was against the run of play. So I thought there was an element there. I think England are pretty good, but Argentina, I thought, were better. So why go into a final against Spain feeling this underdog situation and this big discrepancy between us and them? I didn't think that was needed.
Yeah.
I genuinely didn't. But I genuinely thought in the England game, they were better than England. And England, as I say, a decent outfit. Are England that much worse than Spain? No. So I'm surprised. I'm really surprised at the tactics they adopted. There is an element you do get forced back by Spain because of the style of play, the possession. But not to that extent. It was... Yeah. Utterly ridiculous, to be honest. There was no attempt to get forward to join up with Messi whatsoever.
Yeah, and so then he looks 39, doesn't he, when he's totally isolated, because he's not the Messi of, you know, we still love him. He's been amazing in this tournament.
Exactly.
At the age of 39, compared to what I was expecting from him, not having watched a lot of him in the last couple of years. But he is not the Messi who can suddenly beat two or three players.
He couldn't do that for 90 minutes.
Yeah.
There's no way he could run around like he did when he was 29.
Yeah.
So he has to pick his moments, and he is allowed to walk around and just scan everything and see what's happening and hope that, you know, at big moments in the game he can produce, and he has done.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. But in a game like yesterday, you may as well not have had him on the pitch. You may as well brought him on with 30 minutes ago. And well, give us a full-blown Messi for 30 minutes. Keep us in the game and we'll put you on for 30 minutes and you have a proper game instead of us play with 10.
Yeah, and then 9.
And then 9.
Enzo had been sent off.
Yeah.
The red card, I mean, he complains about the red card. I mean, they were lucky. Paredes could have gone, couldn't they, for a series of yellow card offences. It was ridiculous from Enzo Fernandez. He'd been booked. Got booked for dissent, didn't he? And then he just goes
crashing in.
Into
just
he sort of
crashed in.
Withdrawn at the tiny bit at the end, but it's an obvious yellow card. He absolutely because you see at the beginning of it, he grits his teeth and sprints, doesn't he? And that's what's done him, isn't it? Then he's out of control when he doesn't
try to stop. Mm-hmm. He doesn't lift his feet. That's the only thing I would say. But he does crash into an opponent, and it was always going to be a yellow card. At first, he thinks it's a red card, but when you see it on reflection, his studs are not up. There's no kick, but he just crashes into an opponent. Spectacular fall from Kubasi.
Yeah.
And it was a clear and obvious yellow card. He was asking VAR to get involved, but I'm not...
But it's that mistaken identity thing. But it's like, no, mate, you just bowled into someone at full... Like,
but can VAR get involved in a second yellow? Is that...
Well,
apparently... The laws in this game...
This mistaken identity thing is... That's what I was saying the other day with the Mbolo Paredes one. And then is it Fabian Ruiz in the semi-final? Where they just seem to have just corrected.
Made it up.
Yeah, they're just, and it's this weird thing where it's sort of, they've got to the right decision, but also that's not what they told us VAR was doing, but they just twice seem to have just made it up and called it mistaken identity. So I guess that's his point is, but also you're guilty. So,
But he was kind of waiting for it to be overturned.
Yeah,
The rest of the world are thinking, it's not going to be, mate. You're off. It's at least the second yellow.
Yeah, which means that, because we were just talking about Simeone, weren't we, on the goal, because he's twisted his ankle, hasn't he, at the other end of the pitch. And so he ends up jogging back in and he gets there. And that's the frustration for Argentina is that he got to Ferran Torres and then switched off again.
Yeah. I mean, he makes a run, an attacking run off the ball in the first place in the attacking half of the pitch. Mm. And he rolls his ankle, and it happens. You roll it, and within seconds, you fear the worst, and then you can run it off. Mm. Sometimes, not all the time, of course.
Yeah.
And he rolls it, and he limps, and he sort of stamps his foot on the ground, and then he jogged back. He gets back into position because the attack from Spain isn't particularly fast. And then when the ball goes out wide to Pedro Porro, and it's hoisted into the box. He's pretty much next to Ferran Torres. He's not far off him. And then pulls up and feels his ankle. And then when the ball goes to the far post and is knocked down by Nico Williams to Ferran Torres, he's the one that could have been there.
Yeah.
And he's, by that time, when the ball drops kindly for Ferran Torres, he's 5 yards away. And it, I didn't see it initially. It was picked up on TV by Roy Keane in particular, who's always diligent when it comes to players not doing their job. And his point was, yes, he's injured, but he's got all the way back. He may as well finish the runoff. If it had made a challenge on Ferran Torres, it might have been a different outcome. But those small margins, I mean, he would argue Ferran Torres has come on as centre forward. So where's the...
It's not my job. But they're effectively probably nine because Messi's not running back. So
exactly.
He's had to, with an injured ankle, he's had to run past Messi, hasn't he, to go and take his position. Because you're sort of thinking, when because you mentioned it and we looked at it, I was thinking, so where's Paredes then? Obviously... He can't have been punching someone at that particular moment in time. So, but he's not in a terrible position. He's gone over towards where the action is down the right side. You want enough players over there. Nico Williams does really well, doesn't he?
He does, yes.
He's a clever header back, isn't he? He's thought about it, hasn't he? It's good.
And then Ferran Torres in the penalty box for the only time in the whole match. Loads of space.
Yeah.
And he has to pick his finish.
I did sort of wonder whether Spain... A lot of the time, they didn't have many players in the box. I wondered if they could have committed more and tried to win the game. I guess that was a little bit of stalemate there, isn't there? The two coaches, and he's thinking, well, they're not coming out. I'm not bombing loads ahead of them and letting them counter. So it became quite a boring game.
Yeah, they said actually after the game, I heard one of the players speak saying that to make sure they always retained concentration because they were dominant in possession, but there's always that threat.
Yeah,
and there was an element during the game. I'm thinking, do you know what, Argentina are going to nick this. I didn't know how. But it was. And if there's one area that Spain are lacking, it is a more potent, prolific striker because there are lots of attacking midfielders, lots of good wide players, and they've had their issues with the wide players in particular in this tournament with injuries. But Oyarzabal has done well to a degree. Of course he has. Ferran Torres has been in... had an impact when he's come off the bench as a replacement.
Yeah.
The subs have, Mika Marino has, Ferran Torres have, they have made huge contributions. The same subs keep coming in on. Pedri came on yesterday and was much better yesterday. But if they could find that Kane, Haaland and Mbappe, then they would be unstoppable. So at the moment, this stopgap period of Alvaro Morata departing...
It's weird, isn't it?
Because was kind of morphed into a centre-forward without pace, without power. Swaps with the number 10 a lot. Dani Olmo is a cross between a 10 and a attacking midfielder, but not centre-forward. So they've kind of done the job without that obvious, recognised striker that other nations do have.
Yeah, but they've won it, haven't they? Which is interesting, isn't it? Because that's one of the questions, isn't it, about when we're sort of writing the narrative of the 2026 World Cup, is how good are Spain? Because they're the European champions and now the world champions. And so you think, oh, well, they must be one of the great teams. They're not as... It's not as good a team, comparatively, as the one...
That was sitting in the stand.
Yeah. That they were a better team.
That was mind blowing watching all that. Like, they were all there.
Ramos,
Xavi, Iniesta.
That would have been a better halftime show. Get that lot out to play a five-a-side match. Sergio would still be kicking everyone. that team were the dominant team of the era.
Yes.
Along with Pep's Barcelona reinventing football. This team isn't. There weren't actually... 2024 Euros with a fully fit...
Nico and
Lamine Yamal playing better. They were more exciting. They had more exciting games. But they bring a level of control to games that makes them so hard to play against. And for all... I mean, I thought France are the best team. If you said to me, enjoy a team playing, I thought, France, you know. But they beat them fair and square. When they came together, they beat them fair and square, didn't they? So that running a game, tactical appreciation, winning the ball back really quickly, never giving up a shot, in the end, that won the tournament.
Yeah, incredible statistics, aren't they? One goal conceded.
Yeah.
And you know, there was a little bit of doubt in his mind. De La Fuente, he was the right back. The other three started and finished. It was Poro or Llorente. That was the choice. Poro eventually makes a claim for it and wins that claim.
Yeah, did really
And
well.
You're looking on paper and you're thinking, Poro and Cucurella as your fullbacks. Laporte wasn't brilliant when he came back to Athletic Club. Kubasi is really young. Simon is probably the third best goalkeeper, and he could probably chuck the David De Gea ahead of him as well if you were really being critical. And yet somehow the Rodri in front, Fabian Ruiz ahead of them as well.
Yeah,
gave a really good platform for defending with the ball, which is always a thing that Spain and Barcelona have done, and they play similar to Barcelona. So defending with the ball means if you've got the ball, the other team can't attack and don't attack, which means you starve them of the possession, and it's a form of defensive play. And that's what I think Spain did, because they weren't ultra defensive. They weren't sitting back deep. You know, Rodri and Fabian Ruiz sit ahead of the back four and the two centre-backs, but they don't just sit there and don't go anywhere. They're attacking as well. The full-backs push on. It's just this fact that they have so much possession that it starves the other team of attacking opportunities.
They turn it over brilliantly.
They wind you down.
Yeah, they turn it over brilliantly. Whenever Argentina got, they couldn't get two or three passes in.
Yeah.
Because they're on you straight away. And
exactly. And they win the ball cleanly, and they do that. They did that all through.
Occasionally foul. There's the odd tactical foul goes in. We watch a lot of Spanish football. You'll see the odd tactical foul along the way. But it works, isn't it? And it's so effective, isn't it? The purpose of us being here, La Liga, is when people criticise it. Oh no, the teams. Are you telling me that those mid-table Spanish teams playing against mid-table English or Italian, or that they wouldn't tactically be able to kill games,
compete,
and stop teams attacking, and all of the they can do all of those things? They haven't got a vast amount of money, and they haven't got superstar players, but they know how to play.
Yeah,
they know how to be an effective opponent.
Exactly. And all those elements come together for Spain. You can argue, does he pick the right 11? But ultimately, he does. Because then he's had the issues with the wide players as well. We know Jeremy Pino, he picked up an injury. Victor Muñoz didn't play a minute. Then you've got Nico Williams coming back from, and struggling, coming back from one injury and picking another injury up.
Yeah.
I didn't think we'd see him again. And then you've got Lamine Yamal, who was injured for 6 weeks before the tournament started. Touch and go, whether he was going to be fit. I can't remember whether he started the first game.
No, I don't think he did.
I don't think he did, but so it's been a progression from him.
Yeah.
But he probably, in all fairness, if you were marking him out of 10, I'd probably lean towards, because they won it, I'd be generous and give him a 7.
If
they hadn't won it, you'd be looking at a 6 out of 10.
Yeah.
It wasn't the Lamine Yamal we see that is breathtaking.
No, our first game was the Cape Verde game. And, of course, they played Gavi wide, didn't they?
Yeah,
I've forgotten about that. And Ferran Torres on the right and Oyarzabal through the middle. And it was Pedri, Rodri and Ruiz. And they got...
No, Dani Olmo.
Yeah. So they had 27 shots, 74% possession in that game. But, they sort of ran out but It was weird because Cape Verde are one of the success stories of this tournament.
Yeah.
I maintain they were terrible in that game because they couldn't pass the ball 5 yards. And so they never got out of formation. So they almost never left their own 20 metres from the goal or something, all their players, almost all the time. So it's funny, isn't it? Argentina last 4 years ago started lost.
Yeah.
Saudi Arabia, the first game, didn't they?
Exactly.
Spain plays, but we'll have to watch that next time round. Someone loses the first game.
Or
plays badly.
Underperforms against the team that are massive underdogs.
Yeah.
So things sort of pan out in a tournament. And it's interesting how it pans out. As you said, that midfield three didn't last long because Dani Olmo came in.
Yeah.
Pedri's form wasn't up to the levels that we see from Barcelona.
Yeah.
And you can't argue if Fabian Ruiz is starting because, I mean, he's won two Champions Leagues on the trot.
Yeah. So we would discuss it. I know it's not your favourite subject. Who wins the Ballon d'Or as a result of this? It's not obvious. Right. But who played for PSG wins the Champions League and who won the World Cup? Fabian Ruiz is the player.
And Rodri, listen, gets all the plaudits. I get that. Rodri was good in two matches, but they're the two big matches, the semi-final and the final.
Yeah.
And prior to that, I would say he wasn't average. He wasn't outstanding.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
But the semi-final and the final, so it takes some doing for a player like that to dominate those two games.
Yeah, deliver on the big stage, isn't it? Yeah,
exactly. So I get why he drew attention to, but I agree with you, Fabian Ruiz. He's probably underrated because whoever he's played alongside for Spain is allegedly the bigger name.
Yeah.
You know, it's Rodri, Pedri. Fabian Ruiz is one of those that... It was quite interesting watching it because over the years, obviously how long we've been doing this, those two, Rodri and Fabian Ruiz, when I first saw them play, it took me 10 minutes on both of them to say, oh, he's good. And it's as simple as that. And literally, I remember Fabian Ruiz playing for Betis and thinking, oh, he's like the youngster. Came in as a sub or he started a game. And I thought, oh, yeah, he's special. And Rodri, exactly the same when he was at Villarreal. It took 10 minutes and you're thinking, he's in the Busquets. You can see it straight away. So when you have all this data and analytics to lean on, it literally took 10 minutes. I'm sure there's others about that I could say to you. You can tell straight away the quality is there. Can they then deliver? So many don't, but those two have. And, and Fabian Ruiz and Rodri's formidable partnership. And it is hard for Pedri to be in that. Pedri's best position isn't number 10.
Mm.
So it was tough on him. But what I would say is Spain did really well and De La Fuente did really well. He used the same subs and they always had an impact. And those subs probably went into the game believing, well, we're going to go on, Ferran Torres, Mikel Merino, Pedri. They all knew they were going to go on and they could probably live with the fact they weren't starting, but they would finish. And because there's a big case for Mikel Merino to start with the impact he's had coming off the bench.
Yeah.
But De La Fuente, no. And Mikel Merino must have accepted that because you have to accept in a 6-week tour when you're all together and some are not playing, it must be tough. You know, you want to feel, but to get that camaraderie right and that team spirit right and everyone pulling together is really difficult.
It's easier when you win the Euros, isn't it? Because if you've got a track record of winning stuff, it's
as
easier
a manager,
to make the sacrifices, or in that case, of the manager to demand the sacrifices.
Yeah.
But someone's got to make the sacrifices, haven't they? Someone's got to not play.
Exactly.
You know, because you've got to get the best out of the squad.
And you've got to treat them right. You've got to treat the player with respect that maybe someone like Pedri or Mikel Merino that probably thinks, well, I should be playing. But so to get that attitude right from the player that comes on that isn't sulking, and maybe other nations don't get this, unable to do that.
Mm.
And it is an attribute we overlook. And I think Spain, in this occasion, let me even say the three goalkeepers. I mean, they were happy as... They were both happy as Raya and John Garcia. They looked equally as happy as Unai Simon.
Yeah.
I had no idea why they wear their gloves. The sub goalkeepers who never played a minute and they're walking around with the World Cup with their gloves on.
Yeah,
I do.
Right, but,
I have an idea. It might be an endorsement.
However, fair point. But imagine you had to make a change. Imagine what Roy Keane would say if you made a change and the goalkeeper wasn't ready.
No, I'm talking about receiving their medals, picking up the World Cup, they got their gloves on.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, you're not getting on there, and it's gone.
By the way,
let it go. You're not getting on.
The point I made at the beginning about the FIFA technical study group giving it to Unai Simon, honestly, put some thought into it, lads.
Did you make a save yesterday? Didn't?
No, a single save. Didn't have a shot until the 117th minute. So they.
And what happened with that? One went over the bar from
hit someone in
Giuliano.
The face, didn't it? Hit. Oh.
Oh, Mikel Merino took
it.
Smack in the face.
Yeah.
Was that one of the shots, Messi? Was heading towards goal as well.
Yeah, that was a good shot. And then the Simeone one over the bar. And he came out of his area, I think, twice and cleared it.
Cleared it.
Honestly, that's the golden glove for doing that. It's unbelievable.
You can't deny, though, one goal.
Yeah, but it's a...
Concede one goal.
Yeah, but honestly, you could put Gavi in goal.
Yeah.
You know, he could run out the penalty area and clear the ball. He could, and then they all, but he passes it well. Yeah, all right, then. Yeah, put Pedri in goal.
Yeah.
He passes it really well.
But that is a testament to how well they've defended.
Yeah, how well the team is set up and how tactically astute they are and how well they defend it. It's nothing to do with the goalkeeper.
I agree with the young player of the tournament, though.
Yeah, good choice. Yeah, Cubarsí. Yeah, it's a Cubarsí. I think I know you compare how the Barcelona play. It's not as reckless as Barcelona, though. So
No,
I think
no,
for him, almost anything is easy. I mean,
no.
oh, I'm allowed to go back and defend it. Yeah, go back. Oh,
Drop
this is
off
easy.
another 5 yards.
Yeah,
Don't
this.
run towards the attack as it's coming your way. Don't just leg it out the ball, out the your own half. He was immense. I mean, and Lamine Yamal gets all the plaudits, of course, because of the position he plays and the talent he's got. But Kubasi's same age, barely gets a mention. It's ridiculous how good he is. I mean, there was a cross when Argentina did finally wake up from their slumber and had no choice but to attack, and they looked threatening. Corners were a problem, weren't they, for Spain to defend? There was the cut back across the 6 yard box, which was cleared. And I actually think that was Cubarsí. That we didn't really get a wrap
No, I don't
up.
know. Yeah, good
It's
point.
Marino and Cubarsí. I think Marino is celebrating, but I'm convinced it was Cubarsí who cleared it.
Yeah, we never looked closely enough, did
And
we?
they never identified, and we never really got a good angle because at that stage, Argentina were throwing everything at it, and the next corner was coming in, and so we didn't really get a good clear. But that he was absolutely, and Laporte, as I said earlier, Laporte came into the tournament with 6 months back at Athletic Club, not played on a regular basis because he picked up a few injuries. And I'm thinking, going into the tournament, is it going to be Laporte and Eric Garcia, or is he going to have faith in Cubarsí? And Cubarsí was, and Laporte, Cubarsí in particular, because he's 19 years of age. So it was brilliant to see him get some recognition as the young player of the tournament, because the easy option would have been Lamine Yamal. And Kubasi had been better.
Widening out a little bit, and having a look at Saturday's game. I mean, Saturday's game was extraordinary, wasn't it? It was an unbelievable game. England won 6-4. I mean, before nil up against a France team that looked a bit. They played in patches, and they seemed to pass. They seemed all determined to give Kylian Mbappe the golden boot, didn't they? Every time they got the ball, they passed it to him, and then England did them with
And he
just.
dribbled without looking up. And it did get ridiculous.
Yeah, and England got four goals in that first half, but then they came out with a purpose, France. And then that spell was that was probably the best football we saw of the tournament. I think that France in
To
that
get
10,
back to
15,
4-3.
there was some of the football they
They're
played
back to
was.
4-3 before the drinks break.
And
And then
Elise
Elise
missed a couple of
misses three. He missed three sitters to put them level on and ahead.
And
It
it
was fun
was.
to watch. It was like a testimonial match. The people were laughing when they were missing chances. Jude Bellingham was clearly trying to score not only a goal, but a wonder goal, because he had the chance earlier and took an extra touch and then was smiling about it. And then replicates the whole run again and does score. It was fun to watch, but I don't think, I mean, it's kind of up to Tuchel a little bit that we've finished third and
It
we've
was
never
a
finished that high since.
It was on a bit of a knife edge at 4-3 though, because I'm thinking if he manages to lose this from 4-0 up, he will be in for a lot of,
Because Saka was getting involved, and Saka clearly said after the game
He was fit.
he was fit.
I mean, not playing Saka. Well, anyway, let's not revisit the decisions Tuchel played
But
against
there
us.
was it was a fun watch, but it looked like France, who in recent years have won it and been runners up, couldn't be asked to be in the third place. England haven't been in that
I thought that
position.
for
It
45
kind of
minutes.
looked,
I thought, and then they came out angry at the start of the second half. Four
just
changes
personal
and.
pride as well.
It was wounded. At the start of the second half, and produced some brilliant football at that point. I thought it was a great game. I thought, and I also think, I still think France have got the best players. And so this is my question, Mbappe. So player of the tournament. Rodri, an important player in the winning team. In terms of who the best player is, it's Mbappe. I would
Or
say.
Bellingham.
Bellingham was excellent. He was excellent, Bellingham. And he scored seven goals from
I
attacking
looked
midfield.
at the game yesterday and I was thinking, do you know what? It's great for Spanish football. It's been great for La Liga. It really has, because eight of the starters for Spain play in La Liga. 10 of the 11 that finished a game play for La Liga clubs. On top of that, you've got Bellingham, who's lit it up, Real Madrid, Kylian Mbappe, Real Madrid. It's actually really been a good tournament for La Liga as well as Spanish football. But I agree with you, Bellingham and Mbappe for me would have been Rodri's won it. That's the problem. Rodri
Yeah,
won the
yeah.
world. They won the World Cup.
Yeah.
He delivered in two big games. Don't think he scored a goal, did he?
No, no.
No. And Mbappe and Bellingham. I would probably go Bellingham. But he's not centre forward.
Yeah.
So he shouldn't be competing with Harry Kane and Haaland and Mbappe, but he was.
Yeah.
I mean, he finished up England's top scorer
Yeah,
in the
yeah,
top.
yeah. It's got
Yeah.
a joint third, wasn't it, with Haaland? Yeah.
So I probably would go
Yeah.
Bellingham as the best player. But it's hard to make Bellingham stay behind to attend the final
That's the thing,
to
and
pick up
not necessarily give it to him is the
the
problem. And the same with Mbappe, isn't it? That's why this whole thing about, oh, the technical study group have had a look at it. Yeah,
Yeah.
but literally they're not there. So Mbappe and Bellingham aren't there. So you're going to give it to one of these people who are standing in
Yeah.
front of you. Because if Messi had scored two goals in the final, he would have rightly won it. And
Yeah.
so therefore you've told, me and new Bellingham, you've told them to stay 24 hours and they
Yeah.
can't give a bit. Yeah, so it's a
So
bit of a
in
farce,
that
isn't it?
respect, I think it's been good for La Liga.
Yeah,
It really
yeah,
is.
yeah.
And hopefully and also the fact that in the country that we live in England, pretty much everyone wanted Spain to win because it was
Oh,
against
yeah.
Argentina. Spanish football's not been as popular as this since Sky Sports had it all
Yeah.
those years ago. All those years ago, less just under a decade ago, when
Yeah.
everyone was into Spanish football, all of a sudden it's, oh yeah, we all support Spain now because they're playing
Yes.
Argentina. So
Yes.
it's been a really good. And do you know what? I'm looking at it straight away, and I'm looking at this morning. I'm looking at new signings and stuff, thinking that the players have already. I think Barcelona's first game of the season has
Yeah.
been pushed back
Oh, is it?
for a
Oh, right.
week
Okay. Right.
because of they said that teams with a significant amount of players in
Yeah.
the later stages, and Barcelona got eight players
Yeah.
involved in the Spain squad. So
Yeah.
I think their game has been put back a week. But already you're looking away straight away and you're thinking, oh yeah, I mean Messi and Rodrigo De Paul, they could be playing in a few days' time for Inter Miami. Their season started again. Certain players at Barcelona, because they had a lot of players involved, Ronald Araujo has had his 3 weeks off. He's going to be back in training in the next few days because Uruguay went out of the group stages.
Yeah, a long
I think
time ago.
Frankie de Jong is
Yeah.
due in next week because the
Yeah.
Netherlands went out quite early. And then the teams in the later stages, obviously their players are going to have 3 weeks from now that they have to have as a break. You're seeing the teams back in some playing pre-season games, pre-season training. So it's going to be interesting to see how this pans out. And we do ask a lot of the footballers, but that play in for big clubs and the big nations that go deep in tournaments. But I think for La Liga, it's been a fabulous tournament for them in terms of they're always looking to progress and portray themselves as, one of the biggest leagues in Europe. And I think it's that will only enhance. I remember what it was like when they won the World Cup before it brought the nation together. I remember Iniesta getting clapped every time he went to take a corner or was over one side of the stadium. That'd be replicated. I'm not sure Ferran Torres will get the same
No.
affection as Andrés Iniesta. Ferran Torres probably will go down as one of those players, unlikely goal scoring hero winners like
Yeah, but
Gonzalo
honestly,
Montiel
that's the point.
in the
I mean,
last
when I,
penalty shootout.
yeah, he was a bit part,
The German
you
player that scored the winning goal.
Which, oh, Mario Götze.
Yep, it
Yeah,
was
wasn't
one
it?
of the obvious
Yeah.
glaringly obvious players that would score
Yeah.
it. Iniesta
Yeah.
wasn't a
Yeah.
glaringly obvious player that would score, but fitting as he was such a good player.
Yes, he wasn't a goal scorer though, was he? But
No.
you're a legend, aren't you, once you score a winning goal and
Exactly. Oh, I
yeah.
can't imagine what it's. I mean, what you
Yeah.
take to become a footballer, what it then takes to become an international player, then
Yeah.
what it takes to be one of those international players that walks out on that pitch yesterday, and then what it takes for Ferran Torres, he looked quite blasé about it as well. I was watching him after the game, thinking, "Do you perhaps he doesn't realise? Do you know what you've just done? You're not a regular at
Yeah.
Barcelona. They probably will. There is talk of them selling him to raise money to get Julian Alvarez."
Yeah, add a bit onto his price.
Exactly. Do you
So yeah.
realise what you've just
Yeah.
scored? It's the
Yeah.
pinnacle. To win a World Cup is great. I can't even imagine it. But to actually be the player that gets the goal in a 1-0 win, that's it. It's
Yeah.
you've completed football. And yet he'll come back. I don't know what his future is at Barcelona.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Lewandowski leaving. He might feel he has a chance of being the number one striker. That might have helped his case yesterday. Yeah. But I doubt it. As you said, it might have had a little bit more to his price tag, and someone might want the prestige of... Yeah. I mean, he's a good player, don't get me wrong. Mm. But the prestige of the goal scorer, of the winning goal in the World Cup final. So yes. I think it's been an outstanding season for... outstanding tournament for La Liga.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think we'll leave it there, Terry. I think we'll leave the hydration breaks and the celebrity cutaways and David Beckham's adverts and everything else. Like I say, no matter, you know, FIFA have made some crass decisions throughout it, but it's such a good thing, the World Cup, isn't it?
It's a decent place. America, Mexico, Canada.
Big stadiums.
Weather was good. The weather was kind. We didn't have too many suspensions and stuff like that. Yeah. That was always a worry. Yeah. I'm grateful the fact that I had 3 weeks out there, seeing it firsthand. Mm. And I went to as many games, same amount of games as Gary Neville, Roy Keane and Ian Wright. Who didn't go to a game. Bless them. Sitting there 10 minutes away yesterday. Yeah, they still were in that studio. Banging on about, look at our studio, how wonderful it is. I'm thinking, but you'd rather be over there.
Yeah, they're playing the World Cup final just over there. Yeah.
So I was there for 3 weeks, went to exactly the same amount of games as they did. I didn't like the cutaways to the celebrities, particularly if they were American-based celebrities and you've got Guy Mowbray and people like that.
Yeah, and there's some the pop cultural ones.
I'm skin Alan Shearer, do you know who that is? No.
Yeah.
That was a difficult one.
Oh, listen, I'm going to write a technical TV point. Some of the sequences they put together after goals and stuff were too long. So you're missing action. And honestly, it drives me mad when they're missing kickoff and stuff at the start.
But on a separate note, serious note as well, that game yesterday, I think we called it last week where we said that with the hydration break in the first half and that elongated half time, this game might not get going to the second half. I think that was exactly right, to be honest. Mm. I think both managers were quite content for nothing disastrous to happen and then start a game of football. And also, Scaloni's team selection, his erratic substitutions that he was making kind of led me to believe that it was this team picked on a basis of get to half-time and then make changes? He's making changes all over the place. It was hard to keep grip, but I keep checking the lineup. Who'd gone off? Who'd come on? So please, we'd never want a 27-minute half-time again in a World Cup final. Yeah. And I don't want hydration breaks unless it's genuinely...
Yeah.
We'll have them in Spain. But when you're playing in August,
start of the season, Seville, it's a
lot of stadiums.
Yeah.
And we forgive that, we understand that, but we don't want it in an air-conditioned stadium or when it's pissing down with rain and the players are having to stop and having a cup of tea rather than a Gatorade, that sort of thing, and the crowd booing. And I don't like the four quarters, I really don't. If it is a genuine drinks break, half that time, 90 seconds.
Yeah.
And maybe don't allow the coaches to get busy, but they do.
Yeah. Yeah, right. We will leave it there. Right, I'm required to have a break after the World Cup has finished at the end of the season. So we'll be back. We'll be a little while before we're back, and then we'll come back. And I think, Terry, we should do some a sort of a Patreon look at what's happening. We need to talk about Aubameyang, for example.
Yes.
So that sort of thing. So we'll come back. We'll do some stuff with Patreons, a Q&A and stuff, and look at the start of the season. But that'll be a little time because I'm going on a not as glamorous as Terry, not hanging around with Madonna and Ronaldinho and everybody else in Miami. But so we will see you all in plenty of time for the start of the season. Terry, thank you very much. Welcome back to the UK. And everybody, thank you for listening to us throughout the World Cup. And we will see you in plenty of time before the start of the season. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.